Power and the abuse of power, those are two themes among many that author and photographer Teju Cole considers in his new essay collection. It's called Known and Strange Things. I wanted to start by asking Cole about another topic that also shows up in the book, race, and where he feels things stand as America's first black president ends his time in office.
After the past 8 years of America having, well, maybe a slightly self-congratulatory feeling about having a black president, the backlash against that, this sense of like, okay, wait a second, that's too much progress, too fast. But it is disappointing, you know, because you always hope that you can sort of have your progress be genuine and evade the kickback, the talkback, the backlash, which I see as one of the dominant elements of the current discourse.
Let's move up politics and talk about you for a moment. I mean, you were born in the U.S. and raised in Nigeria. I know your work from Open City and Every Day is a Thief. And this new collection, Known and Strange Things, takes us deeper into how you see the world. Tell us more about your own story, how your relationship with Nigeria has evolved and what you find inspiring in your travels these days.
Well, you know, something interesting that happened to me a couple of days ago was sending a note. My siblings and I were sort of talking on text about the Olympics, which I was not even fully absorbed in this time around. But I just sent a note to them and I said, well, we've won. This was shortly after Nigeria won the bronze medal for men's soccer. Mm. And I said, well, we've won 109 medals so far. And what I meant by it was that the U.S. had won 108 and Nigeria had won one. You know, this is my sense of we, you know,
yeah,
that I'm a Nigerian citizen and I'm an American citizen. I'm not especially patriotic about either place, but I feel very invested and connected in the arguments that are taking place in both of those places. And this is sort of the genesis of the essays in this book, that I am a citizen of two countries who is both at home in the world and not at home in the world, not at home anywhere, really. How does one encounter place and travel and literature and art coming from this placelessness?
And if you're homesick, you toggle over to Google Maps. What do you do? What do you do when you get there?
I used to have this dream when I first came to this country more than 20 years ago of being in a helicopter over Lagos. Well, that was the form my homesickness took of wanting to actually see the city from the air. And now I can just go to Google Maps and go over to satellite view and just zoom in closer and closer and closer until I actually see my family's house and with the two cars parked out front. It's a very strange thing, but it kind of becomes this digital way of making contact with what is, after all, very far away.
There are so many thought-provoking essays like Natives on the Boat in this book of yours. You actually wrote it in a boat. And it's kind of hard to imagine the boat as a kind of installation art project in London. And the boat was called Roi des Belges, the same name of the boat Joseph Conrad took down the Congo River many years ago that led to his novel Heart of Darkness. But you're writing about a dinner party you went to in New York City for the writer V.S. Naipaul. And you note that both Conrad and Naipaul, though several generations apart, were both fond of using the N-word. And I'm just curious to hear from you how its context changes depending on who's using it, or does it ever?
So first thing to say about the N-word is that it's a murderous word. Contextually, it's a way of saying, your life has no value to me. You know, that's the context in which it emerged when it's being used to refer to a slave. And then in contemporary use, I think if somebody's using it in an offensive way, they're trying to use it as a lance to kind of hurt, to kind of poke. And it does hurt, just like any slur would hurt, because it carries within it all the echoes of its actual physical violence. But it's also true that it's possible for people in different contexts to do things of trying to reclaim a word, to use it in a affectionate or jocular way as a way of attempting to lessen its power or to establish in-group boundaries.
Hmm.
You know, racism is not somebody calling me the N-word. That happens very rarely. It does happen, but very rarely. Racism is the fact that black folks can't get a mortgage. You know, that's much more interesting, much more important an issue.
So Portrait of a Lady, one of the essays about Malian photographer Seydou Keita. Hmm. Tell us about him and why you're drawn to him.
So Seydou Keita, as well as Malik Sidibe, are two of the leading African photographers. They both happen to be from from Mali.
Both portraitists.
Yeah. And, you know, what happens with photography is that it sort of captures this one moment out of the flow of time. And so it just sort of stands there as this register of a mystery that should not have been capturable. And here it is, captured, available for our future interrogation and for meditation. And what I love about Seydou Keita and Malik Sidibé really is that it gives us this wordless and yet very dense and comprehensive account of the lives of people who lived in Mali in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, in such a delicate and richly descriptive way that we come to sort of love these lower middle class, working class Africans in a young African country in what is now a bygone generation. For me, the body of work that these two photographers present is as rich as a novel. It's like reading The Magic Mountain by Thomas Mann or Buddenbrooks, which just sort of gives such a rich account of a society to which we do not otherwise have access.
So, final question. I gather you curated a playlist, several playlists at this point, if my Google search was accurate.
That's right.
But there was one you drew up for OK Africa, One Night in Lazgidi, and we're not talking kind of Fela Kuti nostalgia here. This is music from a more recent generation of artists, Wizkid and Asha and Nneka.
Absolutely.
What's going on right now in Nigerian music that excites you?
Well, I hope we can exit this with one of the current Nigerian jams, or Niger jams, as we call them.
You call it, we'll play it.
Yeah, Lazgidi is our nickname for the city of Lagos, and it's just a dynamic, energetic place that takes great pride in itself and in its cultural products, but in non of its cultural products so much as its music. The music that comes out of Nigeria, which is an amalgam of a dance hall and hip-hop and traditional Nigerian music and R&B and all of this stuff mixed together to create a kind of euphoric sound, is music that goes out to South Africa, the Congo, Kenya, Tanzania, Ghana. You go to any of these places and all the kids are listening to Nigerian music. We seem to have found the sweet spot. And even when I go out at night in Harlem or in Brooklyn, I'm very often listening to both American music and to Nigerian music.
Stuff that's just coming out of storefronts or wherever you happen to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, people talk about Nigerian literature and all of that, but Nigerian music is currently our biggest and most finished export. So if you take us out with something by Wizkid or Davido, that would be fantastic.
We'll do some Wizkid. I hear Alicia Keys is a fan. She tweeted a picture of her dancing to Wizkid.
She's a fan. Drake is a fan. I mean, so many people are into it because it's just good stuff.
Writer and photographer Teju Cole's new collection of essays is called Known and Strange Things. Teju, thanks very much for being with us.
It's great to talk to you again, Marco. Always a pleasure. Oh, my God, yes, I am.